Now, when you're working on a project, maybe you've started out really excited by it and then part of the way through thought, maybe it's rubbish. Is there even any point continuing? Or have you ever felt vulnerable and exposed in a relationship? Of course we all have. Or you're arguing a point with someone and suddenly realise you don't even agree with yourself. Self-doubt can slowly gnaw away at us, or hit us suddenly with full force. It's something all artists grapple with, and it's the subject of a new group show at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art in Melbourne called On Vulnerability and Doubt. I went along myself last Friday, and so I'm particularly keen to chat about the show with artist and commentator Ty Snaith, who's here to give us her take. Hi, Ty.
Hi, how are you, Fiona?
I am very well indeed. So, Ty, give us the basics first. What's this show all about? Why should we care about it?
Well, I think the difference with doubt and vulnerability now to how we viewed it in the past is that it's no longer really a shameful thing to feel vulnerable. It's, in fact, an empowering thing. And if anyone knows how to show vulnerability and doubt, it is artists. And now it seems to be this kind of, you know, a powerful thing in line with the Me Too movement or Black Lives Matter. It's about harnessing those ideas of vulnerability and how you can turn them around in terms of power.
So when you come into the show, you've got Charlie Sofo on your left. Tell us a bit about Charlie Sofo's work.
So Charlie Sofo is an artist who was born in the 80s, in 83 actually, so he's quite young, born in Melbourne, works in Melbourne. He's currently a doctoral candidate at Monash University. So he's very much a Melbourne identity and involved in a lot of parts of the Melbourne art scene. But he's an interesting, quiet character and he's very observational. So his works never stick to one medium. They look at all different areas of everyday life and how vulnerability and doubt might appear in the things we see every day. So the first object or plinth that I was drawn to was just a glass top plinth, and you have a look in the top and you can see these tiny little objects, and the closer you look, you think, what are they? And then you realise they're sucked lollies, hard-boiled lollies, right down to the very last bit before it cracks.
I know. I couldn't work out what they were. And then there's a plinth as well with all these sort of misshapen, heavy objects, which turn out to be
chocks
that you put under wheels of a car when you're mending it or whatever.
Yeah, I was very drawn to the chocks as well. The chocks were a work from 2013 to 15, so he collected the chocks over a few years, and they are, yeah, they're matched but mismatched objects. So a lump of concrete, two bits of wood, two half broken bricks that you put behind, you know, trailers so they don't roll away. But the idea of them being taken away and put into the gallery is sort of like, what's happening to the trailer? Is it rolling away?
Well, Charlie Sofo, I remember him from the Sydney Biennale a few years ago, and he's got an international profile as well. Mm. And this show, it's a mix, isn't it, of international and Australian artists. How many?
It is. There's three international artists and there's five local or Australian artists. So it's a good mix. And the three international artists are all women, which is to ACCA's credit, and very exciting to see that international women coming to Australia.
And Are they all established artists? I recognise some of the names very well.
Yeah, they are. And they are relatively young artists and all practising across different mediums. There's painting, there's sculpture, and there's even found objects, as we say, with Charlie's work.
Now, one of the big names in the international scene is Andrea Butner. Tell us about her work, because I was really blown away by it. It's very sophisticated work, isn't it?
Yeah, so Andrea Butner was a nominee for the Turner Prize in 2017 with some of the works that are actually in this show. So there are a series of woodcuts that she made, very large human-scale woodcuts, and they're the beggar series, she calls them. So it's sort of like a simplified iconography of a beggar, head turned down, her arms outreached towards the viewer, and sort of like a rough body, very roughly hewn.
Yeah, it's white, just white lines scratched on a bright coloured background.
So the white lines are the negative. That's where she scratched into the wood with a router. And then the coloured background, which is all these sort of bright pastel colours, a wood block print, but she uses ply, so you can see the grain of the wood, which is quite unusual. But the idea of the beggar, and she talks about it as sort of being this ironic notion that maybe a collector might spend a lot of money on the print of a beggar, but may not give the beggar themselves any money. So there's this hierarchy, ideas of hierarchy in the art world, but also as an artist, we are kind of beggars. We're asking an audience to approve us. We're laying forth our most vulnerable ideas to a whole lot of strangers often. And that's an extremely vulnerable thing to do as an artist. So
yes, and a lot of doubt as to whether you should be taking the money in the first place.
All of that stuff, or whether doubt as to whether your ideas are valid, or, you know, that people will understand them. So I think this work, the beauty of it is not only how these images look, but how they work on a number of different levels around these ideas of vulnerability and doubt.
Yes, I love the textual quality of her work.
Yeah, and there were some other prints with hers that are massive prints, the size of a person, of grubby, smeary smartphone surfaces. Did you see them?
Yes, and I immediately looked at my grubby smartphone with my thumbprints on it and thought, I know, it's kind of, there's something rather genius about the kind of grunge quality of it.
Yeah.
You couldn't get more different, could you, than the artist Brent Harris. And his work is so smooth, isn't it?
Yeah, so people might know his work. He's represented by a Melbourne gallery, Tolano, and he's been showing for a very long time. He's a really established painter. But he's a very flat painting, so they're sort of bold lines, cropped close-up images. But when you look at them, they're sort of, the ones in this show, they're from a series called the Borrowed Plumage series. And they're close-ups of a, looks like a finger, could be something else, going into a hole.
Yes. Now that kind of brings us to like one of the themes in this show, the Doubting Thomas story.
Yeah. So the story of Doubting Thomas, Thomas the Apostle, who didn't believe that Christ had been resurrected, basically, until he was able to put his finger in the wound. So the idea of doubt being validated by touch, and I think this ties both Andrea's work and Brent Harris's work together, because the touch of the iPhone screen and how that relates to sort of experience and how we experience things in the world now as well, but also the routing of her paintings. And then Brent Harris is much more literally a finger going into a soft target or a hole. And what that sort of evokes in terms of ideas of is painting. I mean, do we doubt paintings now as well? Do we doubt that painting's relevant in itself, or when these paintings were made back in 2007? You know, painting was being declared dead by a lot of people.
Oh, look, painting's been declared dead every decade since about 1960.
It's definitely not dead.
It's definitely not dead. I mean, there's some exquisite works opposite his by Ambera Vellman. She's a German artist. These are pictures of intimate couples. They're nudes, but they're quite abstract and they're sort of grappling with each other, and I just thought they were beautiful.
They're really evocative, aren't they? Some you can definitely see the bodies intertwined, and there's all these ideas of sort of shame that come with sexual intimacy, but there's this ambiguity in these paintings where you can't see where one body finishes and the next one begins. You might see an arm going into a between legs, or a foot coming out of a weird spot where there's too many feet, so maybe there's an extra body in there.
No.
And all of these paintings are painted from her memory as well. So she doesn't refer to imagery. She paints from sort of these experiential memories, yeah.
Well, that would explain the extra foot, because we've often had that feeling while in bed with people.
Exactly.
Where did that foot come from?
Exactly.
So how did you find the way the theme is threaded, looking at all the artists, how it threaded through the show? Are the artists' approaches to vulnerability and doubt quite different? How did it hold up overall, that this theme?
I think the approaches are quite different, which is important with a show like this, so that people can relate to different things maybe on an individual basis. But I do think there's a very strong feeling of power on the artist's behalf, a feeling of independence in that we can talk about these ideas of doubt and intimacy and shame and vulnerability, and now they're a tool to give us a voice. Instead of something that in the past we might have pushed down, now they're things to talk about and to encourage other people to talk about within their relationships, within their workplace. You might be feeling shamed by an employer, you might be, you know, your intimate relations may not be right. It's in talking about things is much better, and art is a way of talking about things. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ty.
My pleasure, Fiona. Thanks for having me.
Ty Snaith is an artist and commentator, and the show we've been talking about is On Vulnerability and Doubt, featuring 8 artists from Australia and overseas. It's on at ACCA in Melbourne until the 1st of September.